Welcome to Heavy Equipment Radio. I'm Ryan, and today we're going to go over personal protection equipment for the job. So if you're thinking of becoming a heavy equipment operator, there's a couple things you should know about the equipment that you'll need. Here are, to start, the minimum requirements. Minimum requirements are a hard hat, of course, steel-toed boots, probably the most expensive item that you're going to be buying, a reflective vest, and a pen and a notepad, very important, so you can write stuff down. Sometimes people talk faster, they go over a lot of detail and make you look really good. Also, you can take notes on things that happened that day, maybe for the future, like keeping a little diary as well. So, to start off, a hard hat, about $35. Oftentimes, the employer will get you or give you a hard hat. Steel-toed boots you're going to have to buy for yourself. Those can range from $100 to $250 and more. And I usually manage to get mine for around the $100, $120 mark. They don't last all that long, maybe a year or two, depending on how many times I'm around, whether cutting concrete, because concrete dust just rips up the boots really fast. Reflective vest might also be given to you by the employer. They're pretty cheap. They can be like $15, or they can go up to $140, $180 if you want to get a surveyor's vest, which is a little thicker, has more pockets on it. The less expensive reflective vests are often Velcroed together. This is so that they can tear away if you get caught on something. So you're reflective, but you're not getting hung up on things. Surveyor's vest is more just like that, a vest itself. So it fits a little tighter around the body, and it can also be used to pull you out of a machine, much like when you see race car drivers or their fire suits often have straps that you can pull people out with. And a pen and notepad, cheap as anything. So those are the minimum things you're going to need. So show up with a hard hat, you must have steel-toed boots, a reflective vest, and a pen and a notepad. And start taking notes. Find out who your supervisor is and who you should call if you have any questions. Now, to go down a long list of, first of all, clothes, here's what I recommend. And these things I've just acquired over the years. It's nothing that I went out and spent a bunch of money on at the start. I just bought it really as I needed it. So, with a reflective vest and a shirt on, a hoodie's a good idea because it can protect your head a bit more from the weather. And you can roll up the sleeves. It's light, but it's heavy. It's probably one of the best jackets you can get for the job. I also bring a pair of coveralls for when I'm greasy or in really dirty situations. I usually forget to put them on and get the rest of my clothes all greasy anyways. But I do have them, and in a couple instances, I knew to just take the time, find them, put them on, because it was a really ugly situation with leaks all over a machine. It was practically raining down on me underneath there. Winter coveralls are really handy, and I recommend that if you're working in the colder climates like I am in the Pacific Northwest, where we've had a really long winter. I don't even know if it's going away yet. But sunglasses year-round, I find that my eyes hurt a lot in the bright snow and stuff when I'm working there. Of course, if you're loading a truck, oftentimes you're going to have to put your dirt in the back of the truck. And when you're dumping it in the back of the truck, the sun is right there blinding you straight in the eyes. So sunglasses are a really important thing to have. Oh, also, I forgot, a set of goggles, eye protection of some kind. Again, the employer might give it to you. I have it, you know, in my garage at home anyway, so I got like three or four pairs of them, and I have one in a little backpack that I bring to work with. You know, the backpack has a lot of little items that I'll get to next. But back to the clothes. reflective sweaters, reflective perforated shirts, good for the different weather. Reflective pants, I don't wear those myself. I usually get my pants for like $19 and rip them up in a couple of months and designate them to shop pants. A rain jacket of some kind, you can go to like the dollar store and just get basically a plastic sheet that goes over you. And in a pinch, I have that in my backpack as well. And if I already have a rain jacket, which I do, often I'll lend it to someone if they're in a pinch. Extra set of socks, shoes, shirt, and pants. I put that in a plastic bag or something, a grocery bag, in the back of my truck, because every now and again I work late and maybe I have a dinner plan or something to go out to, and rather than come home and change, which can be a long drive, I can just change right there and go right to my event. So that's always nice. Long johns for the winter. Yeah, for sure, man. Long johns. I got 3 pairs of those things, and they save me. Thick socks, kind of self-explanatory on how that stuff goes. Now, I've got a YouTube video up that you can go take a look at and have a visual of all my stuff there. Some of it's greasy and dirty, and it gives you a really good representation of everything. I'll go to the backpack next. The backpack, I have a cell phone charger, a simple pair of pliers so that I could cut something or do something minor. You don't want to have too many tools on the job site because we're not really labor now, are we? Then I have a rag in there. I have some aspirin in there, which I found very important. And then a little bit of food, just like, you know, peanuts, pretzels, cheese and crackers, beef jerky, Doritos, that kind of stuff. Then I have a cooler. And in the cooler, I'll have my sandwich, leftover pizza, but I'll have a lot of water, Gatorade, some pepperoni sticks, maybe a cola or something of your choice, and have that on a lot of ice on a hot day. And I've used that so much that when I actually go on a road trip or something with the wife, I'll pack that up with drinks, because on ice, they taste delicious when they're cold. I don't know. Doesn't seem like refrigerators get as cold as they used to back in the day. Now, a more long inclusive list, it would be a pair of gloves. That should really be mandatory, self-explanatory. I don't even know why I mentioned it, but I do. Sometimes the employer will give you gloves as well. But how about this? First aid kit. Now, I make my own. I buy them as well, and I have them everywhere. I have it in my truck. I have it in my camper. I have it in my garage, and I have it in my home. Just a couple of Band-Aids isn't a first aid kit. And if you just need a Band-Aid or think a Band-Aid can fix something, then you're not really thinking correctly on what type of... Basically, the biggest injuries I've had on the jobs are cuts. And I had one in my garage where I proceeded to bounce an angle grinder off the car and right into my kneecap. That's... Sounds worse than it is, and I got pictures, and it looked really bad, too. It looked like a cut steak. It didn't go all the way down to the bone. So I saw that, and I actually grabbed it with my fist, and I limped inside the house, and we had a first aid kit, and one of the more important things was these butterfly bandages. And we used a bit of cleaner that's in the kit to clean out the wound right away. I mean, it was in the garage grinding rust off a car, so the wound wasn't really all that dirty, but I cleaned it out anyways. Then we put these butterflies over top of the wound, and we wrapped my knee really quickly in a bandage just to hold everything in place. There wasn't a whole lot of blood involved, but it was enough to be scary, and I had to go to emergency, and I had to get stitches for sure. There was no question about that. So after getting to emergency and waiting the mandatory 2 hours, and probably more than that, that's when they brought me into the room and had me sit forever and a day. By the time they got to it and looked at it, it had already started to heal. And it didn't need to be reopened or cleaned or anything. Saved them and me a lot of time, and was a really handy thing that we had the first aid kit there. So if you're camping and something like that happens, I mean, you're not going to be able to get anywhere fast. You want to be able to take an open wound, and let's say it's 6 inches, and as deep as it goes, you want to be able to take that and wrap it up, put pressure on it. You want to be able to clean it. That's really the primary thing, is to clean it and then wrap it up and have pressure on it and then get to where you need to go. So I also had another incident where I was on my machine and I had a wedding ring on. If you're a machine operator or a woodworker, take the rings off. She won't mind. Mine didn't. Because having that ring on and having it get catched on things can take your finger off. And that's not fun for anybody. Now, what I did is I was jumping out of a machine, not jumping out of a machine, I was always using my 3 points of contact. But one of my points slipped on the handrail a little bit, no big deal, but it caught on something square, and it caught my ring. And when I stepped down out of the machine, it caught my hand, and I was 2 feet in the air, suspended, because I couldn't touch the ground, as my ring finger was holding me up in the air and proceeding to slide about halfway up my fingers. If you were taking the ring off your finger, it slipped up, and it perfectly peeled back the top couple of layers of skin, about exposing about an inch. Not a bone, there was still flesh underneath there, thank God. But I got out of it. I went over to a guy and said, "Hey, I need a first aid kit really quick. Do you have anything?" And he's like, "I'm not sure." And then he proceeded to look at the wound and was useless to me. He pointed to the truck, and I went to the truck, and I found the first aid kit. We wrapped it all up and everything, and other than having to cut that ring off later that night at home with the same angle grinder that had wounded me before, it was no problem getting the ring off. I didn't have to get stitches for that. We'd cleaned the wound, we'd kind of pulled back the skin, and we'd wrapped it up really good, and problem solved. So I can't stress a first aid kit enough. And sorry to ramble on about it that much, but sunscreen's really important. Oftentimes we're basically in a greenhouse in these machines, and although a lot of them have UV protection, a lot of them get replaced with plexiglass windows or something, and the sun can really hurt you. We all know this, and I don't use it as much as I should, but I do use it every day that I need to. It's just I usually wait 2 hours before I put it on or something. I don't know why, that's just me, but sunscreen's really important these days. Aspirin, always important to have too, especially if you're on a long shift or something like that. I mean, these machines stink a lot of the time. They're always rumbling, there's always noise and everything, so aspirin's a good thing to have. Don't take too many of them. Don't use them unless you absolutely have to. Earplugs, that's pretty much a mandatory thing you're going to want to have, and usually everyone has them around somewhere on a job site or something like that. But I always keep a couple in my vest, and they don't really cost hardly anything at all. A seat cushion, let's just say if you have a seat cushion handy that you can put in your unit and stuff, you will thank me one day. Dry hand wash, that's always good for the drive home, that orange stuff or whatever you choose. My hands are really greasy or dirty or whatever. My truck, I try to keep relatively clean, so I can use this dry car wash anywhere and wash my hands off really quickly. Paper towels, self-explanatory. Car seat in your car or truck. I do that all the time. You know, I'm really good about being clean once I get in my truck, with the exception of my hands, perhaps. But, I mean, I had a pen that I had in my reflective vest that exploded on me and fell in my lap and then dyed blue my truck seat because I was in between seat covers. I'd worn one out and didn't put another one on yet. So I recommend getting a seat cover for the vehicle that you're going to be traveling on all the time. I think you'll thank me for that one too. I got a gym bag for $35. It's like a hockey gym bag, so it's really big. It carries virtually everything except my heavier stuff, like I have an old ski jacket and those heavy coveralls that take up a lot of room. But the big bag like that, you can just put everything in there and you're prepared for any situation, any time of year. You can haul it back in the house, clean it all out, wash it and everything like that. Yeah, like that happens very often. And put it all back in the bag. It even fits my hard hat inside the bag and I just throw it in and out of the vehicle. And makes it very handy when you're going out and to get groceries or something like that, and you just pick up that bag and throw it out of the truck and go about your business. A cooler, really important. Mine is like the perfect size for a rubber tire backhoe. I could always put it in a corner somewhere where it won't interfere with me. In a rubber tire backhoe, you're often pivoting in the seat between driving and running the backhoe, so it's nice to have your feet free of anything laying down on the ground. I see guys come in with enormous coolers, and more power to them. I mean, it doesn't bother me if it's in their machine, as long as I don't have to get in there and work it. And if you need a little bigger cooler, you can just always throw it outside the machine. But cooler's really handy to have all the drinks and everything, kind of like I talked about before. I'm just going over my list here. I see it's repeating itself. Cell phone charger, pliers, cutters, tape measure, an ice scraper, de-icer, always good things to have in a pinch. And I think that basically covers a list of everything. I know it was a ramble. Like I say, I've got a YouTube video as well up. Just type in heavy equipment radio, I think one word, and it'll get you to that. And I'll show you a video of all the stuff that I have, and also basically some frozen pictures of the basic requirements that you're going to need when you start the job. The first three things, which I'll go over one last time. Minimum requirement: a hard hat, steel-toed boots, reflective vest, pen and notepad, and let's put gloves and eye protection in there as well. And go out and have yourself a good day. I hope you guys found this interesting, and I'm hoping that people who are interested in becoming a heavy equipment operator are taking a listen into this. You can send me an email or anything you like to get a hold of me, and I'll gladly answer any of your questions. Or best of all, you know, post your questions on the YouTube channel there, and I'll get to you one way or the other as well. I don't even have a problem talking to you personally on the phone if it comes to that. I know there's a couple of people that have sent me in emails and stuff and saying that they enjoyed the podcast. And I really appreciate that, because sometimes you wonder if you're just spinning your wheels. Anyways, that's enough for Heavy Equipment Radio for today. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. Like, subscribe, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. Thanks again for joining me and listening to The Ramblings of an Idiot.